A grand jury indicted two men on charges of online enticement of a minor last week. And Alaska's top salmon researchers suspect changing ocean temperatures are affecting the food supply for juvenile Chinook. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more up next. A grand jury indicted two men on charges of online enticement of a minor last week following an investigation by Haines Police. On May 24th, local police issued arrest warrants for Devin Tyrone Light and Michael Leo Maz for charges stemming back to investigations that began in August 2017. Light faces one charge of sexual abuse of a minor in the second degree, a Class B felony. He is also charged with online enticement of a minor under 16. He was arrested in Anchorage and is being held on $10,000 bail. His arraignment was scheduled to continue Tuesday in Anchorage. Maz faces one charge of online enticement of a minor under 16, a Class B felony. He was released from the Haines Rural Jail after a local resident posted his $2,500 bail. Maz was arraigned in Juneau on Saturday. He was appointed a public defender and the court entered a not guilty plea on his behalf. Skagway Search and Rescue and the Alaska State Troopers responded to an injured hiker on Monday. According to a dispatch from the troopers, a 23-year-old man slipped and injured his ankle while hiking on the AB Mountain Trail. 2 miles away from the trailhead, he was unable to continue hiking. Search and Rescue and the Skagway Volunteer Fire Department transported him back to the trailhead, where an ambulance was waiting. The top two officials from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game held a town hall meeting in Sitka recently to discuss the rationale behind ongoing deep restrictions in the commercial king salmon harvest. However, few of the 160 or more commercial trawlers or processors in the room appeared satisfied with the politics, as Deputy Commissioner Charlie Swanton defended his strategy in renegotiating the Pacific Salmon Treaty with Canada. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
This was the scene outside of Harrigan Centennial Hall just a few minutes before the symposium opened.
Governor Walker, stand up and fight!
Governor Walker, stand up and fight!
We are sick and tired of our fish being traded amongst a bunch of suits behind closed doors. Give our king salmon to Canada? No way!
This is about 50 commercial salmon trawlers and friends voicing their objections to possible cuts to the Alaska Chinook fishery to conserve king salmon runs in Puget Sound that are listed under the Endangered Species Act. The final extent of the cuts won't be known until the new terms of the Pacific Salmon Treaty are released. Deb Lyons, a former member of Alaska's Board of Fisheries and a former member of Alaska's Pacific Salmon Commission team, was calling foul.
To help Puget Sound, so now we have to give fish to Canada, even though we don't catch the Puget Sound fish. We don't have an impact on the SA-listed stocks, but we're being blackmailed by National Marine Fisheries Service. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we're Peter.
Inside, at the meeting that followed, the tone was somewhat more subdued, but most of those who spoke could barely contain their frustration over the perfect storm of low abundance and closed-door politics that has pushed many in the fleet to the brink of economic survival. Fisherman Jim Moore wondered, as did many, whether Swanton really had their backs at the treaty table.
And I think we all recognize that the best deal possible under the circumstances is not any good for this industry. It's killing us.
Moore noted that Alaskan fishermen have taken a cut every time the Pacific Salmon Treaty has been renegotiated since the 1970s. He asked, why can't we win? Charlie Swanton has been under constant fire by the Southeast Troll Fleet since his decision last summer to close all Chinook fishing, both sport and commercial, when trollers still had about 30,000 kings remaining in their allocation. At around $12 a pound, it amounted to $1.8 million in lost revenue to the fleet. For just this year, the department is cutting back the all-gear harvest limit another 10% to protect the same stocks, plus two more in northern British Columbia. Troller Eric Jordan, also a former member of the Alaska Board of Fisheries, thought the action was haphazard and damaging to the relationship between the fleet and state managers.
I think it's a big mistake, Commissioner Swanton, to arbitrarily take 10% and you haven't shared the plan. I think this is an example of where our treaty team is making decisions that are cost us that aren't borne out by the facts. So what has happened, Charlie, because of, quite frankly, your decisions, is the trust has been broken.
Jordan argued that fishing locations and timing could be shifted to spare kings headed toward these rivers and to target those from healthy systems. Swanton, however, disagreed. He said that the department was trying to create a harvest strategy consistent with Alaska's sustainable salmon fisheries policy. He also suggested that the landscape of treaty negotiations was more dynamic than people realized, with parties at the table representing Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Canada, and a number of tribal governments. His position at the beginning of treaty negotiations was, Alaska is not giving up any fish. But it didn't play out that way.
You have to look at it in terms of the context of whose fish are we harvesting and how much do we harvest of them? And what are the concerns and what are the challenges faced with some of those stocks? And they're pretty substantial. And I'm not saying that the reductions that we took are going to solve this, but that's the landscape, Matt.
Swanton said it was impossible to walk away from the obligations imposed by the Endangered Species Act. Once that genie's out of the bottle, he said, you can't put it back in. He suggested that enacting strict conservation measures under the treaty was preferable to management by the federal government under the ESA. Swanton also had the support of his boss, Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton.
I don't think we're losers if we find ourselves in a position of deciding to accept an agreement that isn't everything we wanted.
An ocean without fishermen, no way!
Cotton was also conspicuously on the curb outside Harrigan Centennial Hall during the rally prior to the meeting. While he didn't chant, once back inside, he told the crowd that he appreciated their show of strength. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
There are just a few more days to weigh in on the Bureau of Land Management's Haines and Skagway area planning. The input will be used to inform new alternatives for the Ring of Fire Draft Resource Management Plan. BLM will be making decisions on land area designations and whether to maintain areas for wildlife studies. It will also decide whether to establish a maximum number of annual helicopter landings on BLM lands. The department is accepting comments through May 31st. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.